Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of the Inspired Disorder Podcast. My name is Ray Taylor. This is a Fight Talk episode. But before I get to the things, the topics, and recap of the fights and all that kind of shit, I'm not going to go through the whole fights. But anyway, before I do that, I want to get into some updates real quick. Update specifically to the Patreon page, patreon.com/inspireddisorder. That's where you can go help support Inspired Disorder, help who support the artwork that I do and the podcast that I do and the future projects that I do. It's a way where you can help give money to artists on a monthly basis to help them create their work or follow their passions, and you get a little bit extra in exchange. You get some bonus content, some bonus features. For instance, what I offer, if you go to patreon.com/inspireddisorder, patreon.com/inspireddisorder, if you go there for a limited time, you can sign up for $1. This for the first 100 people, it's called the early adopter tier. So all of the tiers from now on, there's no different content for each of the tiers. There's the early adopter tier, and once I get 100 supporters, Patreon members, donors, then it goes up to $3 a month. So for right now, up to the first 100 people, it's only $1 a month, and you get special content. You get making of videos of the many faces or the Photoshops that I do. You get the video version of this podcast. You get bonus content, which yet to be determined as far as what kind of bonus content. You get everything at an earlier clip. So you'll get the video version of this show before the audio version comes out. You'll get to see the artwork before it gets released. You get to see the Photoshops basically when they're released, because there's no real time delay on the Photoshops that I do. But you'll see all the video content early. You get to watch each of the faces getting painted live. Well, not live, but, you know, filmed. And if you want to purchase anything over at inspireddisorder.com, which is my website, which is where you can find all the work that I do, you can save a bunch of money if you are a Patreon member when you go to buy any of the artwork that I sell, any of the many faces, prints, t-shirts, all of those things. You will get a discount when you are a Patreon member. So the update is that I do the many faces in batches because I release them daily. I don't every day wake up, paint one face, record it, edit that video, take one picture of that one painting, and do all the updating to all the websites. That would just be insanity if I just did that every day. It's way faster if I batch the work, so I try to do big batches. This one was about 10. It's usually around 10 to 15 that I'll... Once I get that amount, then I'll shoot them all, take pictures with my phone, post them all on the website, or at least schedule them all on my website so they come out daily. And then on Patreon, if you're a member, you get to watch all of the paintings getting painted. You get to see what the finished product looked like and the picture that's going to be posted to Instagram on the day that that particular number is supposed to be released. So far, I'm at like 320, I'm getting, or 425. I think I'm close to 425. No, 325. Am I in the 300s or 400s? I think I'm in the 400s. And I'm thinking of the podcast that's in the 300s. But And I've done, I'm getting close to recording 100 of the faces painted. And of those 100, I think there may be two that I forgot to hit record early. But I think they've all been recorded, at least portions of it. And there was maybe one that I had, one or two that I did a little extra work after the camera was off. But for the most part, from start to finish, you get to watch every single one get painted. And new faces is released daily on inspireddisorder.com for you to buy, or Instagram for you to see. If you are at Ray Taylor on Instagram, is my Instagram, if you want to see those. So that's the big update. I just put a new post up on Patreon for 10 of the new many faces that will start being released in the next few days. And I'm looking to do 20 more, hopefully by the end of the week. So expect two more posts on Patreon of new artwork, the many faces. I'm hoping to get 30 of them, so expect 20 more, hopefully in 10 batches. I think that works the best. At least, just like I get a pad. So like right now, I'm doing 11 by 15. I'm using, compared to when I first started, I'm using way better quality paper. This is 140-pound paper. I think I want to go better next time. But I definitely enjoy working with the thicker paper more, and kind of exploring different brands and seeing what I like more, and just letting the supplies evolve. But that's what I'm doing now. And I basically will just, that's a stack of 30. So that's the next 30 are going to be 11 by 15, where the other ones, I'd gotten a couple bricks of the, I think 4x6 and like 6x8. So those were the I think there's a few more of the 6x8s going up, or a 4x6. I don't know. It's the smaller ones. So you can go buy all those at inspireddisorder.com. But if you want to see all the new ones before they're released, for sure do that. And if you want to buy one, just message me and I'll let you know what the price is and get you set up to buy it. It'll have it shipped out to you ASAP. So those are all the updates. If you want to get special bonus stuff like that and more, I'm always thinking of what else I can add bonus stuff to the website. Like, for instance, this one, I'm recording this, I believe it's Wednesday. I'm going to have it come out on Friday because Tuesdays and Fridays, even though I'm really only committing to once a week. So this is going to come out early. I said the other one was going to come out early. It took me forever to record it, blah, blah, blah. Didn't work out. But I'm trying to put as much extra content up there as possible. And, you know, as it grows, I'll be adding more stuff and make it more interactive. And it'll be a lot of fun. I want to do giveaways and stuff like that. But I just need more people to sign up before I start implementing any of those things. So that's it with the updates. Now let's get into the story time. Because Fight Talk, it's, you know, UFC is something that I've been into for over a decade now. And it was a big part of this podcast back in the day, very recently. And I still enjoy watching. I still enjoy talking about it. And for those that aren't aware, I'm kind of treating the, you know, this kind of relaunch of the Inspired Disorder podcast, you know, just in case people don't know how I got into the UFC, I just want to lay a little groundwork before I start talking about it, and I'll just forget about it and just talk about fights from now on. But I first heard about UFC like early 2002 or 2003. A girlfriend at the time wanted to show me, is back when Blockbusters were a thing where you go in and you rent a fucking VHS in some, and DVDs were kind of starting to take off before, or it kind of replaced all the VHSs pretty much right before they died, before Netflix killed them. But and we went to go see, we were going to go rent a UFC event. All they had were like Ultimate Knockouts or whatever. And I remember putting it on, and it was just like, there was one where a dude's leg broke, and it was way before Anderson Silva, way before, like, you know, I've seen some crazy things in the octagon. I'm kind of desensitized to it. But this was like a compilation. Like, you see them on YouTube now all the time of just like crazy shit that happens in UFC events or in MMA events. And it's just like crazy injuries and crazy knockouts. So because it was, I don't know, it was more of a spectacle still. It was like no holds barred. And like it was just marketed and positioned in a way that, I don't know, I just wasn't into it at the time. So fast forward, 07, 08, I think it's like around 07. I'm supposed to be doing this painting. It's actually the painting right there. You've probably seen it in the past. It's the big one. Commissioned to do this painting for a band. They were going to hang the painting in the background while they did, like, they went did their shows. And there were problems. And, well, there were problems with that. But I took a week off because I wanted to get it done within a week. And I took a week off from work. I worked at Costco at the time, took a week off, and got sick. Like, my body knew that I didn't have to go to work. I wasn't double-timing it with, like, working full-time at Costco and then trying to run. At that time, I was running Digital Art Design Associates, which was a graphic design business that I ran with the help of a friend of mine. And this was kind of towards the end of that, before that ended, and I wanted to expand into podcasting and artwork and stuff like that and started Inspired Disorder. So this was definitely more of graphic design. But then, you know, in websites, I was doing the website for the band as well. I'd done a bunch of show posters and flyers for them. And so this was kind of, you know, getting back into doing fine art, which I had been doing a lot at that time. And I got sick and I was depressed, and for whatever reason, sometimes like I'll watch shit that I'm not into at all. Like, I'll watch reality shows, I'll watch like fucking Storage Wars, I'll watch fucking The Amazing Race, or more recently Survivor. I got into during the move from Denver to out to the desert. It was a very depressing time for me. So I got into the reality TV shows, but there's kind of just times where I'll just say, fuck it, and I'll just dip my toe into something and dip back into it. And for whatever reason, it was the same time, like, YouTube was starting to get more popular, and there were, like, a lot more videos. So there were, like, the Kimbo Slice videos. I started watching, like, Backyard Brawl videos. Excuse me, I'm not getting emotional. I'm just, like, a burp that flirted with my manliness. So I was watching the Kimbo Slice, and there was one where it was like felon fights, where it looked like it was in a warehouse and there were cars parked with their headlights on, and it's like they showed the records and there were like backyard brawls. And I was watching all of that shit and decided to, and then remembered maybe I saw like a highlight or two of MMA, and remembered the time that an ex-girlfriend tried to get me into UFC, and I downloaded a card. This is perfect. This is actually perfect. Because recently, a fighter on this card retired. But it was an epic card. Let me see. I got to find this. See, Bisping. For all those, are you guessing which Bisping fight is it? Bisping versus, well, here, let me look up Michael Bisping. I believe it was Michael Bisping versus Elvis Sinisek. I want to say it was like UFC 71, if I had to guess. Let's see here. 78. Yeah, 70. God damn, I was so close. UFC 70 came out in 2007, April 21st, 2007. I wanted to download the most recent. I think I maybe had watched the like UFC 1 and 2, and that was like definitely kind of more of where I was coming from anyway, watching the, you know, the kind of backyard brawls and all that shit. I was like, fuck it, I want to see some more destruction. I want to see something beautiful die. And I think this was the most recent one. So this one, the main card, Chet Congo versus Asuerio Silva, Lyoto Machida versus David Heath, Michael Bisping versus Elvis Sinisic, Andre Arlovski versus Fabrizio Verdum. Holy shit. Gabriel Gonzaga versus Mirko Krokop. I remember Mirko Krokop versus Gabriel Gonzaga, the commentators, Joe, I think it was Joe Rogan and Goldberg. They would, the whole walkout, everything, Krokop head kick. It's like, this is like crazy. He's from Pride and like fucking, we're going to see some shit because these Pride guys are coming over here now. We're going to see like this guy does the head kicks, all this shit. And they're like Gabriel Gonzaga, this gorilla looking motherfucker who's like, you know, jujitsu. And he ends up head kicking Mirko Krokop. And I was like, I was hooked. That was the card that hooked me. But Bisping versus Elvis Sinisic. I forget what does it show. Fuck, they used to show what walkout music, but it came out to. Anyway, that's my first UFC 70 with Michael Bisping, who just recently retired, and I didn't even have that on my notes. But for sure, when I fell in love with Bisping, lifelong fan. Even when he was on Tough with Dan Henderson, I was like, fuck everybody and their xenophobe. Fucking USA chanting bullshit. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Dan Henderson. He looks like the most uncomfortable human on the face of the planet. Like, he just has no dexterity at all. He's just a brick that moves around. Great guys. I love to watch him fight, too. But I wanted Bisping to win. That was the fight when he got knocked the fuck out. And tough finale. But yeah, followed him through his career, beat Rockhold. Fuck Rockhold. Rockhold just keeps getting knocked out with that same fucking punch. By the way, for those that aren't paying attention, he gets clipped every fight. And he's not good. And don't listen to him talk in interviews. Rockhold doesn't, like, as far as, like, stereotypes go, like, the fact that he's become a model, I guess, fits within the stereotype because he doesn't know how to speak very well. I guess it's more prom queen, right? That's way worse stereotype. He's like somewhere in between. I don't want to disparage models. He's just an idiot. He doesn't make any sense when he talks. But, yeah, Bisping, much respect. I'm glad he quit after he lost GSP. He took a short notice fight against Gaslam. Shouldn't have taken the fight. And I'm glad, like, he's got so many health issues. I love his podcast. Fucking what's it called with fucking Luis J. Gomez. Believe You Me podcast. I listen to it all the time. I love it. I'm glad they made it a podcast and I'm glad Sirius got rid of them. And, I really enjoy it. I wish they would hire me to help produce, Bisping. If you need a producer, on the LA side, let me know. I've done a lot of shit. I know how things work. I can fix whatever problems they have, and everybody has problems. But, yeah, so that was the card that I started watching, and that was, like, the area. Chuck Liddell was still a thing. Randy Couture, Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner fight had happened. Like, I started getting into The Ultimate Fighter. I just became obsessed with the UFC, watching the UFC. It was the only sports I watched. Because I didn't have cable anymore. I had gotten rid of cable when I moved. And before that, you know, I was into basketball. And there were times I'd try to get into football. But it's like, it just sucks rooting for a team. Like, it's like you have to pick a team. You have to root for a team. You can't just be a bandwagoner. You have to pick a team. You have to be diehard about that team. It's like, so stupid. Especially, it's like you pick a team. It's like, oh, I live in San Diego. I'll go with the Chargers. Oh, let's have a coach that gets us to the playoffs finally. And, you know, we didn't work out. We got eliminated. But, you know, let's get rid of that coach. Let's get another coach. And we'll keep this coach, even though he doesn't know how to do a fucking thing, North Turner. Fucking got rid of, like, every player that we got rid of, like, flourished somewhere else. Because they would run, like, I remember one season, they tried running Sproles up the middle. Every time they got the ball, one of the plays would be at least one per down would be trying to run Sproles up the middle. And guess what would never happen? A hole. Sproles would just run into a wall, and they would lose a down every fucking time they got the ball. It's like, why am I rooting for a fucking, I can't do this anymore. So I just follow MMA. And then there's like fighters that I like, and you watch their career and you root for them. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But overall, you get to know them. You get to see their fighting styles. It's amazing. I love it. It's like watching MMA as somebody that grew up watching like Jackie Chan and I watched a few Bruce Lee, but that wasn't the thing of my generation. It was Jean-Claude Van Damme and whatever the white dude was from American Ninja, which wasn't good. You got the karate guy, the Chuck Norris. Never really was into him, but, you know, there were times he was all right. He was all right. He's a little bit too redneck for me. But, so it's like getting to see in video games, like Street Fighter, you get to see like crazy shit in reality, like crazy shit. Like you get to see the Karate Kid ending in reality. You know, you get to see Lyoto Machida do a jumping fucking front kick to Randy Couture's face, knock his tooth out to win. Did he win the belt? I don't know, but he retired Randy Couture. And then he did the same fucking kick to, he did a similar kick to Vitor that Vitor got knocked out with twice. But anyway, that's where I came into the sport. Watched it ever since, mostly just the pay-per-views up until, you know, starting to watch Rogan's podcast and, like, you know, talking to people online through Twitter especially. I started watching the other events than just the pay-per-views. Started watching the prelim cards, the early prelims, to the point where this podcast used to have its own episode that was Fight Talk, and we would recap the full, all 13 fights from the previous card, and we would make picks for all 13 of the next card. And during that time in Denver, I would watch fights twice. I would watch them live just to kind of experience it and, you know, just take it through that lens. And then the second time I'd watch it, I'd try to be more impartial and try to score it and try to, you know, remember certain details. And Keith and I would usually watch them right before we recorded. I was really proud of the work we did. So that's where it got to. And I still love it. And I still watch all the fights. Whether it's Fight Pass, whether it's, you know, FS1, whether it's them going to Disney or ESPN, which is owned by Disney, and which is fucking, it scares me a lot that Disney is owning everything. Not that they own the UFC, but they own the broadcast rights for the next 5 years of the UFC, you know, and they own a lot of shit, man. I wouldn't be surprised if they bought the UFC in like 5 years. Maybe the deal's up. No, I don't think they'd be able to do that. I don't think they could do that. Well, Disney might be able to. I wonder if Disney could buy the UFC and then have it broadcast on their network. It seems illegal somehow, but maybe not, actually. I don't know. But I can't imagine this in 5 years. I'm going to call it now, people. Cut this out. So this is Wednesday, May 30th, and I believe the UFC ESPN deal is a 5-year deal. I would not be surprised if in 5 years, considering Disney has purchased, I mean, in the last 10 years, they've gotten Marvel, they've gotten Star Wars, I don't know if it's finished, but I know they were trying to get a lot of the Fox properties, a lot of properties Fox owns. And probably, it's probably more. I mean, ESPN, they bought, ESPN, or I guess Disney, ESPN. They've been buying shit up left and right. If they were to buy the UFC, that would be so crazy. Considering, like, even today, well, I guess a few years ago, even when I worked at Costco, whenever I would talk about, you know, somebody would ask me what sports I was into, I told them the UFC. Cage fighting is usually like, oh, cage fighting. They're very, you know, a lot of conservative people go into Costco, and older people. But So it was pretty rare to find a UFC fan. Met one today at Trader Joe's, by the way. I was wearing this cut-off UFC Expo shirt that I got when I was at the UFC Expo, I believe in 2012. It was whatever year Anderson Silva rematched again. It was the weekend Anderson Silva rematched against Chael Sonnen. It was the fight that Forrest Griffin beat Tito Ortiz again. And I think that was their trilogy fight. And that was later he retired. Dana told him to retire. So that was when I got this, and I talked to some guy at Trader Joe's. I was there earlier, and he's like asking me about TJ Dillashaw and Demetrius, and TJ versus Cody and Demetrius and all that kind of shit. He was asking if I was looking forward to the TJ versus Garbrandt fight, and I told him that I was way more interested in watching TJ versus DJ. I want some actual competition for this record breaking fighter. That is amazing, but I want some fucking. I want to if he beats TJ, I'm done. He's the best ever. I'm done. But I want to see him fight TJ first, at least, or somebody comparable that is a solid fighter that can throw some shit together. But yeah, ESPN getting the 1.5 over 5 years. I think is the deal, and Ariel Helwani's going over to actually do a podcast, which I don't know if he's getting rid of the MMA Hour. I fucking love that show. I love After the Beat. Those are two great MMA podcasts that get me up to date on all the news, but he might be going over to do, or he's definitely going over to do a podcast with Chael Sonnen. I don't know how that affects what he does with MMA fighting. I would imagine he's gone, though. I can't imagine him doing those things, and there'd be competition, which is weird because MMA. I've only been watching the MMA Hour for the last maybe 2 years. I think whenever we started doing more regular UFC podcasts, that I started watching that as one of my go tos. And there's a lot of great UFC podcasts out there. But yeah, so this one, UFC Liverpool, like so many cards recently, past year, past 2 years, past ever since they started doing pretty much the early weigh-ins, they've had a shitload of people not making weight. Darren Till, one of them. He was like 3 pounds, 3.5 pounds over. Apparently had some personal stuff with his wife, girlfriend, whatever. I don't know what the, I don't know. I've only heard things referenced, but not, I haven't heard actually what happened. Because he doesn't want to use it as an excuse. Darren Till's probably the most humble destroyer out in the game right now. And as far as how I scored it, first off, the weight cutting, whatever, it happens all the time. Everybody pretty, I think there's one of the people on the undercard was overweight and lost. But other than that, everybody's undefeated. I don't know if 3 pounds is going to make enough on that much of a weight class versus like 115 straw weight. But, you know, for like 100 and what is that, 170 pounds, the percentage wise, it's a very small percentage that he's off by. So I was like, whatever. And as far as how I scored the fight, I didn't rewatch the fight. I only just watched it the first time, and it was pretty, I mean, it was a close fucking fight. Like, if you were just going to go and not score it, which I didn't do, I didn't score it round by round. I just watched the fight, and at the end of the fight, I was like, who do I think won? Who do I think the judges are going to give it to? But more likely, who do I think won? And considering, like, I would almost score it fucking the first four rounds a draw, and the fifth round Darren Till knocked him down and did damage. Like, he popped him with the jab a few times, he knocked him down with the left hand, and I don't know how much he got off on the ground and pound. He, you know, Wonder Boy tried to go back with a takedown, didn't really fucking happen. You know, Darren Till popped right back up, and you know, it was very much of it wasn't a fight where you watch it and they're just doing patty cake the whole time. At least it didn't feel like that to me this time. Because you see those fights where it's just neither person wants to engage. They're just doing patty cake the whole time, and they're scared to engage. But this one was definitely seemed like they were trying to. He was trying to draw. Like there was a lot of feints. Like they were trying to do shit. It wasn't like the worst Theodoro versus Smiling Sam Alvey, one of the worst fights ever in history. I've lost a lot of respect for both those guys after that one, but gained a little bit. Theodoro fought in this, and it was whatever. But it's just boring when that happens. And I didn't really feel bored. I felt stressed out the whole time because I know either of these guys with an open window is going to bash through and fucking take what they want. You know, they're going to, like when he knocked him down, he was going for a finish. Same thing with Wonderboy. If Wonderboy clipped him with a kick, he'd go in for the finish. So they're super hesitant. I totally had no problem with Darren Till. I thought Darren Till won it. I thought his walkout music was fucking amazing. It was one of the best. I would say the only other one, there was one time that what's his name? Not Jeremy Stevens. In San Diego. Chris Lieben. He came out. It was one of his last fights, and it's not going to show me on there. And he came out to, like, I want to say it was Radiohead song or something like that. So good. So good. It's rare that there's like a really an emotional kind of a walkout moment. And this one, like the energy was pulsing through the TV. It was so good. So good. Perfect walkout music. He's great on the mic. I love listening to after watching that fight. I went back and watched a few of his interviews that he did. I watched the post-fight press conference. Super critical, super humble about his performance. You know, he's the farthest thing from like a Tyron Woodley who became champion and just would not stop talking about legacy. Like, oh, I got the belt now, so it's all about legacy. It's like, that's not what makes a fucking legacy, man. It's defending your fucking belt a bunch of times. You know, not just like looking for money fights and just like that's all you talk about. It's just like, I'm tired of competition. I want fucking money fights. Farthest thing from that, which is it's a breath of fresh air when you're like, there's other fighters that do it. Connor does it to an extent. Like when he's being interviewed at the end of an interview, he's critical of himself. He's thinking of ways that he could have done better. And so Darren Till, I'm enjoying it. Perfect timing to come in as Bisping leaves for fans in that region. And I think it's almost a Bisping 2.0 because he's got massive amounts of talent. Not that Bisping didn't, but Bisping was very much a blue collar. He worked for everything he got, worked overtime for everything he got. And not that Darren Till isn't putting his time in, but he's got a talent to him when it comes to putting it together. At least I went back and watched, and it's like, it's not, everybody was like, Darren Till's a pressure fighter. He's going to go in there. He's going to pressure it. It's like, and I went back and I rewatched a bunch of his fights. Like, majority of his fights go to decisions. He goes to a lot of decisions. He went to a draw with a guy, which was a crazy. He had like an amazing, like, first, it's like the first round was a 10-8 for him. The second round was close. Third round was a 10-8 for the other guy. It ended up being a draw. It was crazy. At least that's how I would have scored it. But Darren's also, he's young. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, especially since we've seen what happened to John Jones, who came in young, came in hot. Way more humble, though, I think, than John Jones. I guess John was super humble then. We just didn't know he's faking it. This guy doesn't seem like he's faking. Like, he's not, doesn't have that Christian veil of bullshit over him. He just seems fucking straightforward, straight shooter, which is amazing. So you saw that. You saw Connor, who's, you know, has had his issues, kind of. It'd just be interesting to see how he handles it, assuming he keeps winning. I think he's close to a title. The title situation in that weight class is all fucked up anyway. So he's got time, and he doesn't seem to want a title. He seems to want a, you know, you know, earn his keep in the division. And he's missed weight once, but he's never had a problem missing weight. So there's been fighters that have missed weight like three times in a row before it's like there's an upheaval. I just think people are so tired of people missing weight. Like it's like every card there's at least one. And it's generally multiple people that are missing weight on every single card. We've missed fights. I think it's just a general exhaustion when it comes to missing weight. Where this is like a headline fight. It's not even a title fight. Fucking DC technically never should have been defending his belt against Rumble the second time. Because he cheated. He didn't weigh the championship weight going into that fight. He had a towel that he leaned on that everybody saw and made fun of and knows, and he knows. He technically never made championship weight. His body did not weigh championship weight. It was the comparison of the only story that Chuck Liddell ever tells on any interview ever where he stands. If you ever hear of interview of Chuck Liddell and he's given the opportunity to tell a story, he is going to tell a story of a time where he had to get on a scale and all he has to do, because it's a little bathroom scale. What do you do with the bathroom scale? You just lean a little bit. You know, you got a 10-pound sway. Every time he's on an interview, that's why he should never fight again, because it's just he's stuck in a loop. It's fucking Groundhog's Day for that man, and he just needs to go. He just needs to somebody give him a safe job, pay him a lot of money so he doesn't have to fight again. Chuck Liddell, I love you. But I don't even know where I got there. I don't even know how I got there. But Darren Till's great. I love Wonder Boy too, don't get me wrong. But Wonder Boy has a problem also of not engaging. He has a style of like Anderson Silva back in the day where it's like he ends up having boring fights. Now, granted, he is fighting Darren Till, who's a dangerous guy. He just came off of fights with Tyron Woodley, who's a dangerous fucking guy. And they had to fight, you know, definitely more exciting than the Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maia fight. But yeah, it was overall it was a fun card. I enjoyed it. I don't know. Let me see if there's any fights that stuck out besides the Darren Till. The main event. Which is good for fucking, I mean, it's not horrible for Wonder Boy that he loses this. It's like, okay, he's only has two losses. He lost to Matt Brown, just smothered him, destroyed him, couldn't do anything. And he lost to Darren Till, close decision. Close decision with Darren Till. Like, it's like, what is he going to do? There's so much problems up at the top of that division. Tyron Woodley's out with an injury. There's an interim belt going on, so you got to get that all sorted out. Thompson, nobody wants to see Thompson versus Woodley again. Somebody else has to have the belt before we even consider Thompson for another fight. I mean, it's like, it's crazy how that division shouldn't be acting like the Demetrius Johnson's division, 135. I think it's 135, but it is. Or no, 125. Yeah, 125. But it is, because it's just Tyron Woodley's fucking legacy and is whining about every fucking thing. Ugh. What am I saying? Okay, hold on. So this card. So Theodore versus Trevor Smith. Theodore won, which he should have won. He's fucking fight pass prelim. Spending a lot of time being the ring card boy for Invicta. Let's see. Trying to see if there's anything else that kind of stood out. Dan Kelly lost, which was kind of a bummer. But Tom Breeze is a stud. It's like, you know, Dan Kelly is going to run into somebody like that. Eric Spicy lost. I thought he was going to win. Claudio Silva versus Nardin Taleb. Yeah, this was one of those. Oh, Jason Knight. I thought he was going to turn around, and he didn't. Mirkani won it. It was a fun fight. It was a fun fight, although Jason Knight just is like too content with his back on the ground, just trying to work. I mean, he's good working off his back. Don't get me wrong. He has a great rubber guard. He's able to like keep people, keep their pot, avoid ground and pound, all that kind of stuff. Maybe he was getting rocked and he was trying to like you know, recoup on the ground. But I remember him doing that before in other fights, and it's just, it's annoying. But I do love watching Jason Knight fight. I just hope, I mean, it was his first time training with Cowboy. So hopefully, a lot of times when fighters change camps, it seems like it takes a couple fights before you start seeing improvement. Neil Magny, of course, defeats Craig White. Craig White coming in late notice from Cage Warriors to fight. And pretty decisive win. I mean, it was a TKO, but he didn't look horrible until he got caught and just got steamrolled. And then the main event. Darren Till versus Wonderboy. So I enjoyed the card, and that was a, I don't know, like a Fox card or some shit. Now there's another fight night coming up early. That was a Sunday morning card for me. Literally woke up. I think I woke up at 7:30 and started at like 8, or maybe started at 7:30. I woke up early, though, that day. So the next one is, see where they find, Unica, New York. Headlined by Jimmy Rivera versus Marlon Moraes. And let's see if there's anything. Ellenberger, Saunders is kind of a retirement fight almost for one of those guys. Not so soon, but it's getting there. Vellante versus Sam Alvey. Two guys that kind of gas a lot for being light heavyweights. Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. Layson Tebow versus Desmond Green. Yeah, it looks pretty good, actually. It doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing. Like, some people are name snobs. Like, they'll only watch fights if it has big names on it. You're not always going to see, like, Darren Till versus Wonderboy. Huge, like, huge promo for it. Great intro. Tons of hype. I was hyped. It was okay. The fight was all right. Not a lot happened. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't, again, Woodley versus Maya. But not a lot of action, considering the two fighters that are in there. So on cards like this, especially the main event, Moraes versus Rivera, I mean, that's one that could easily also be just boring, but I don't think it will. So that's it, everybody. That's all I got to say about the fights this past week. Upcoming, I'm looking forward to Dana White's Tuesday night fights coming back. Definitely. Those were a lot of fun to watch. Just kind of little one-off cards, which, you know, on a Tuesday, nice little hour or two, get to see some new prospects. You got to see the fucking weed boy. I can't think of his name. Sean O'Malley. Fucking super entertaining character. And there's a bunch of other people that have, I think, already gone on, and I just haven't connected. He's like, Sean O'Malley's a pretty memorable guy to keep track of when he goes over versus everybody else. You know, you kind of get to know a person a little bit more before you kind of recognize them versus a super wiry white dude with a fro in a crazy style. So that's coming back. I'm looking forward to that. And that's it, everybody. Hope everybody has a great week. Make sure you go over to the Patreon page, patreon.com. First 100 people can sign up for $1, then it goes to $3, but you get access to a bunch of stuff. I went over it already. Don't need to go over it. Tell your friends. If you have anybody that's interested in art or Photoshop, let them know. Tell them about it so they can, you know, if they're interested in watching making of, because I do the Photoshops that I do as well as the paintings. I try to do making of videos for everything that I do. I'm always looking to put new content up there. You can follow me on all social media. I'm at Ray Taylor on Instagram as well as Twitter. You can always ask me questions on any of those platforms. If you're a Patreon member, you can ask me questions there. I like to do question and answer segments, ask me anything segments on the show. So you can get to know me a little bit more for those that are new to the show. Or for those that have been around for a while and don't really haven't got to know me for some reason over the past few years. Or you're just curious to know my answer on something. But thank you all for watching another episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast. Have a great week or a weekend whenever you're listening to this. Peace out!
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Embedded signals within this podcast have reprogrammed your natural thinking patterns. Side effects may include lack of inhibitions, erectile dysfunction, anal leakage, transcendental communication with beings from 4 of the 7 primary dimensions. In the event of a tear in space-time, please keep your hands down and feet together. Any loss of life or limbs due to interdimensional travel is not the responsibility of this podcast.